Hey, it's really great to be here in the Alexis Park Hotel because we usually have concerts in this room during the CES. This is one of our key exhibit venues. We have about 200 companies that exhibit in suites around here, high-end audio equipment, most of them great American companies. And people from around the world come into this hotel to see what Americans don't know is that the U.S. companies, actually these small companies, produce the world's best audio products. And we export more than we actually sell domestically. But actually, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk about digital television. And after what Ed said, I think that's a great tee-up to go into some of these areas. I also wanted to thank John and Tollefson and Gil Maxwell as well for the helping set this up. I spent many, many days at Braddock at PBS when I was at the Advanced Television Test Center Board. Peter Fannin, who is in this room and is now with Panasonic, headed that organization. And we spent a lot of time and a lot of effort with the great contribution of PBS to get to the point where we are today. And when you went through that life cycle there, it was a very, very long birth. It was more than a nine-month pregnancy. And we faced some big issues about fairness and the different proponents out there. And it took so long to get to where we are here today. But before I go into some of that, I did want to just, as I say, qualify the audience. How many of you, by a show of hands, please, are on the air now with digital television? It's really tough to see up here, but it looks to be about a third, a quarter. Okay. How many of you that are on the air with digital television have over 50 viewers that you're aware of? Okay, I'd say counting yourselves. Yeah, you can count yourself. Okay, I'd say significantly fewer hands. I guess I won't go out to the 100 viewer question. How many of you that had your hands up that are on the air get feedback from viewers in terms of, oh, now there's a lot more hands. I guess it's the same fewer than 50 viewers that keep calling. Now for all of you, back to the how many of you think the 8VSB versus COFDM debate should still be going on? Okay, there's a few. How many of those of you with your hands up actually own digital television sets? Okay, there's one. Yes. How many of you own digital television sets? Okay, well, this is PBS. Now, just thinking in the future, and Ed did say this, so how many of you actually think we will be significantly digital with consumers owning digital sets by the year 2015? What's a digital? We can go into a digital set or digital monitor, digital tuners. They receive a digital signal. By 2015. Oh, yeah, you figured it out, and now everyone's raising their hand. Okay, great. How many of you think that'll be high-definition television? Okay, significantly less. Thank you. I just wanted to qualify the audience whether I should be, this is going multi, whether I should go multicast or I should go HDTV here in my later remarks. So, the answers are important, actually, because, where we go forward, and I love that 2057 prediction, and we'll make a side bet. I always try to make at least 50 or 100-year predictions. I've never been wrong yet. there's obviously we're going through a phenomenal time in history, and when historians look back at this era, it will be very, very significant, this change to a digital world. It's not only in video, obviously, it's with the internet, it's how we communicate and how we relate to other people, how we exchange information and get entertainment. And it's a world which is changing rapidly, but it's not that different in a sense than other changes in technology. I mean, for the broadcasting industry, let's face it, this is the biggest change since radio added full motion video, right? This is it. That's where we are. But in other changes, I think PBS has played a very, very major role, and we've actually worked as the Consumer Electronics Association in the consumer electronics industry with PBS. We had a wonderful experience in the early 1980s when we went to stereo television. We had we did a Live from Wolf Trap series, which won some major awards. We had the Kirov Ballet and all these. Wolf Trap, by the way, is the National Center for the Performing Arts in Virginia, and there's really world-class entertainment there. We actually had a cooperation deal with PBS where we paid to have this broadcast throughout the PBS network. Does anyone, I'll stay with the show of hands, does anyone remember that? Show of hands, good. Well, that was a good venture, and maybe we could do something like that with HGTV. I was thinking as I was brushing, that really did work. It had great sound. It helped popularize the concept of stereo, and stereo is now accepted. But also in terms of the automatic time setting, as it's popularly known, as you all know, that's something that PBS has worked with Sony on, and that continues even today. I hear some laughing. Well, okay. I actually am pleased to announce today that CEAs, our Consumer Electronics Association's TV set manufacturers, have agreed in principle to provide PBS with funding for its member stations to purchase and install the equipment necessary for the continued distribution of the Extended Data Service, or XDS, time set signals to home VCRs and TVs. The details have to be worked out, there's no question about it, but the commitment does represent and reflect a significant contribution on behalf of the consumer electronics industry, and it does strengthen the relationship between consumer electronics companies and public broadcasting. And we look forward to cooperating with all PBS member stations participating in the program to expedite the installation and deployment of the Everts equipment once we have finalized our agreement, so that we can continue to provide consumers with this very highly valued service. So I came here bearing some good news. I have to say we had a conference call this week with our TV set makers. They're very mindful that I'd be talking to you today, and this is something that they're digging deep into their pockets for, and they think it's a valuable program. I'm glad we can make it work. But, you know, I was reflecting as I was coming here what a leader PBS has been in so many different ways. Certainly, I grew up with it, a major part of my household. My mother was a big devotee. PBS has been a leader in unique, creative, and important programming, but it's also PBS is a leader in unique, important, and creative use of technologies. And I think that is an important vision to have, and I certainly heard it this morning already. I'd like to share our vision, I should say my vision, because it's impossible to speak on behalf of the diverse voices in any industry. I was at a meeting just this week, actually, with a number of broadcasters, Eddie Fritz and National Cable Association head Robert Sacker, and I think I said, you know, we're all trying to do the best we can in this digital television transition, but in a sense, as industry leaders, we each have a wheelbarrow full of frogs, and they keep jumping out, and we're trying to move that wheelbarrow along. Because we represent diverse industries, and people and the companies in those industries have different visions of what they want to do and how they want to get there. But my vision, at least, is that technology could do some really, really good things in terms of where we go, not only as a nation, as a country, but as a world, in terms of getting everyone in the world access to information, education, and entertainment. Certainly, the internet is making a huge difference in that, and the internet is, as you know, a digital media by definition, so it's natural that digital television be there. Obviously, the first digital media that became popularized, in a sense, you could argue whether it was the computer with its zeros and ones, or you can say it's the compact disc player, depending upon your perspective, but consumers know and understand and love digital, and they understand that it's good. What I see is, I see the home of the future being one where products are connected with each other. The networked home, so to speak, and for real good reasons. When we talk about the automated home, there's people sometimes think of the Jetsons and they think of things like that. But the reality, what you're using is functional products. For example, most of you may have a garage door opener. That's an example of an automated product. Increasingly, the internet's being used as a display for security purposes, or to monitor the baby, or to have remote access from your home to turn things on and off. But what we're seeing, rapid change, while we're talking about rapid changes in terms of what you have to do at your stations for digital technology, we're seeing rapid changes just in the displays themselves. We are shifting rapidly from a cathode ray tube world, direct view heavy monitors, to one where projection television and flat screen displays are starting to predominate. We're looking at new technologies like digital light processing. Phenomenal display technologies are coming. And we're looking at the big joke we used to have was of wall TV. Well, wall TV was always 5 years away since 1950. It's been 5 years away, which is the planning cycle, you know, our engineers worked off of. But the reality is wall TV is coming here, and it's not only going to be used to display broadcast and cable and satellite television, and obviously it'll be pre-recorded, but it'll also be family picture albums. It could be scenes that you would like to, where you used to live or would like to live. You'll have TV walls of video displays all over, and they'll be large and they'll be small. But in my view of the world, they're certainly going to be in high definition, because high definition is something that consumers really do want. So we, as an industry, though, have a vision of digital television, which is realistic. And that's a very critical word for me to use, because it is realistic. Let me just think, this 2006 date, which everyone has talked about, there wasn't a person involved in the digital television discussion from any side or any angle or anyone in Congress involved in the Commerce Committees who looked at it who thought 2006 was a realistic date. That was a total, total myth. The date that was announced by Congress, we did something we've never done before. We issued a press release criticizing Congress directly as an institution and saying that, you know, we have said from the beginning that where things are going, we'll have 30% penetration by 2006. So the consumer electronics makers are not disappointed that we will not meet the 2006 date. We never said we would, and no one in the broadcasting industry has ever said it, no one in cable. That was a date that was created by a budget committee in Congress when there was a deficit, and they said, oh, we'll get all this money by 2006. So that's an important thing to keep in mind when you read stories about how digital television is failing. It's not failing. And from our point of view, it's precisely on time, because we still predict 30% penetration by 2006. We are realistic, but we're not pessimistic. There's no question about it. I think things are going pretty well with digital television. If I have one message today, that's what it is. In fact, I'd say we're even optimistic, and we have reasons to be optimistic. One big reason is that the standards issue is resolved. MSTV and NAB did with their testing, and then their board in January accepted. Now, I know from your perspective that may not be a perfect resolution, but it is a resolution. Now, if you put yourself in the shoes of the manufacturers who have to make these huge investment decisions about what products they invested and how they get them in the marketplace and what they do, what that debate did for the year 2000 was basically killed the interest of manufacturers and tuners, it's fair to say. If you think there's a chance of standards being changed, you're not going to build an integrated set. You're not going to aggressively go out there and start making and promoting tuners. So in January, we were unshackled as manufacturers, saying, all right, now we can go forward. But unfortunately, there's a manufacturing cycle and a planning cycle. We're still several months or even a year or so out from really full-scale deployment of big marketing effort and push on what I would say is integrated sets and tuners. It's just not there, because uncertainty is very, very difficult for manufacturers to deal with. I mean, imagine the concept of selling something as expensive as tuners or integrated sets and then doing a product recall. It could put a manufacturer out of business. So from a manufacturer perspective, I think great excitement about digital television, but when it came time to the question of tuners, as long as this debate was paralyzing us, it just wasn't going to happen. And I even spoke with a manufacturer yesterday who was a major manufacturer, said, finally now we can get into the HDTV market. We just shied away from it. But despite all that, there has been a lot of other good news and reasons for optimism. It's not like work totally stopped on tuners and things like that. The emphasis might have shifted. But the bottom line is that the concerns about tuners, which were real concerns and still are real concerns, I think will become less so as time goes on. Indeed, just recently, there was a study by the ATSC Task Force on RF systems performance, which stated that the new receivers demonstrated a significant improvement in multipath tolerance compared to the first generation receivers. This task force also noted improvements in other areas of receiver, including the RF front end, AGC, and tracking issues. And of course, the tuners are going to continue to get better. No question about it. And to the extent that consumers or publications or press recognize a difference in tuner performance by manufacturer or by brand name, that's something that will be reported on, and manufacturers will respond to that. Manufacturers are very much interested in not getting a TV back once they sold it. Retailers don't want a TV back, and they're very interested in protecting their brand name. So they don't want to sell products which don't work. So clearly we're at the beginning of this tuner issue in many different ways, but it's going to get better and better and better, especially as it becomes more important, because right now consumers are not buying digital television sets for the most part because of what's out there on broadcast. We think that's going to rapidly change, especially when PBS is doing so many phenomenal things. And I put PBS and CBS usually in the same sentence as the two networks that are making a huge difference. And then, you know, HBO and the satellite people and cable, you know, very little bit, a little bit with AOL Time Warner. But the real reason people are buying these DTV monitors, if you will, is DVD. That's the reality of it. It's something we didn't anticipate. But I think that's really, really good news in a way, because the monitor, in a sense, is the big investment for the consumer. They cost several thousand dollars, although their prices are dropping rapidly. But we're populating homes now with DTV-ready monitors. That's the bottom line. And it'll just take a few hundred dollars to add a tuner to that when people make the decision that there's something worth getting. So they're making the big investment. All they need to do is get a plug-in for that. And that's maybe a Pollyannish way of viewing the world, but when we talk about our dollar volumes and our sales and things like that, I know it hasn't been clarified. In a consumer electronics world, everyone understands and accepts this. We're talking about we're selling our products. To broadcasters, sometimes it seems like we're trying to be deceptive. We're not trying to be deceptive. We're trying to talk about sales. And the reason, by the way, we can't issue on a regular basis the number of tuners sold is because there are so few tuner manufacturers out there selling product that if we release the numbers, those that give us data are going to know exactly what their competitor's market share is. So under our own rules of statistical reporting that we've had for 60 years, we can't release regular tuner information. We're stretching the boundary now by some of the information I'm going to give you, and we're going to keep trying to give as much information as possible. But the bottom line of it is that if about 10%, roughly, of the products sold in the year 2000 had some type of tuner that was connected with it, or a separate tuner, an integrated set or a separate tuner. And now what we're looking at, a real-time slice of information, is about 15% on a unit sales basis is either a separate tuner or an integrated set. So you could take those numbers and do some figuring out on your own, but the good news is we've gone from 10% to 15% in a very short period of time, and that's an important number to track. I think it's going to keep getting higher and higher because there's a lot of stuff coming in the marketplace now. So that's an important number. I'm going to go through some statistics, but keep in mind, these statistics, almost exclusively, when we say DTV products sold, we're including standalone tuners, and we're including DTV monitors, and as well as integrated sets. So I'm going to go through some statistics in a visual basis to show you why we think digital television is doing very well. You can see that the annual sales for the quarter, you're the first one who are going to hear the first quarter numbers. We're announcing it this week at NAB. First quarter numbers are doing pretty good. We're up there significantly over where we were last year at this time. A huge increase in growth. In terms of what people are spending on the product, it's very significant. Last year, consumers spent about $1.4 billion on digital television equipment. That is absolutely phenomenal for a product in its third year of introduction. And that means consumers are investing in this. They like it. If you look at the cumulative investment, by the end of this year, we're projecting they'll spend $5 billion on digital television equipment. This is consumers in homes making purchasing decisions. This investment is doesn't compare to anything that I'm aware of in history in terms of consumer electronics products, in terms of an aggregate investment in 3 years. In terms of the comparable investment with other products, and this is the little asterisk you may not be able to see at the bottom, is this is an inflation-adjusted dollar, so this isn't mythical. You could see that the investment made in digital television products is significantly greater than that made by consumers in computers, VCR, CD players, or analog TV. Inflation-adjusted dollars from the time of introduction. At the same time, the prices are dropping. Since 1998, they've dropped 40%. The number we're using, that based on historical basis, but we have no reason not to think that won't occur, is 2% a month prices are dropping. Now that's, quite frankly, that's the story of consumer electronics. It's not something the manufacturers are very happy about. They'd rather prices not drop, but there's competition out there. Even though DTV is selling well, there's a lot of product out there. And you know, retailers are always pressuring manufacturers to lower prices. That's how they sell more to retailers, and that's how retailers sell more to consumers. And ultimately, someone has to dig in their pocket and put out cash for this whole thing to work. In terms of where we are, right now, when consumers are buying sets, you know, the reality is analog is still 80% of the dollar spending for consumers. But I look at the fact, wow, 20 cents of every consumer dollar is being spent on television is being spent on digital. The fact is that a $199 TV set or $249 or $299 25-inch set is not the same purchasing decision a consumer makes when they're buying a digital television set for, $2,000. Those are two totally different consumers. The consumer that goes into Walmart and buys a lot of these sets is not looking at digital television sets. Now, we're not at that life cycle that Ed talked about where consumers are out there. We're going to the early adopters. And, a lot of you, I've even got some comments before today, during coffee this morning, that, boy, if you go into one of the, as we call them, the box retailers, like a Best Buy or a Circuit City or something, you look at how they merchandise digital television, and it's inconsistent, say politely. But what I really urge you to do is to any one of you go into your hometown specialty dealer, the small guy, the guy who does, has the better brands of audio products and video products, and see how they're almost selling exclusively high-definition television. The custom installation marketplace, which is the marketplace, the fastest-growing marketplace in consumer electronics for high-end products. These are people going to your homes and they set up a whole home theater. That is 95% HDTV. And that they don't install analog sets anymore. Now, the disconnect we're experiencing in all this, which I don't have to tell you, but it is the reality is when you have these great big sets, these are people who are used to getting cable or satellite. Not a lot of these people are using antenna. Now, we've done a lot to promote antenna sales. We even have created this program which is available to every retailer, and we've done this antenna promotion campaign. Consumer can go in there and they can figure out what type of antenna they need based on where all the broadcasters are in the area. It's a topographic map. It's a real big effort. But what's happened in our country is that, 30 years ago with that Act 2 of cable, consumers got used to not using antennas anymore. And it's something that, we've been challenging the broadcasters for some time, for about 2 years. Please work with us to promote antennas. And right now we've been going it alone to promote antennas. So it's a tough dilemma because some people believe, and they're right, because a large percent of consumers will never go back to antennas. No question about it. Which makes this cable coverage that you're getting so important. I was at the National Press, I was at a meeting in Washington this week where Robert Sachs, the head of the National Cable Television Association, spoke. And the best news he had to tell the media there and everyone else in the broadcasting industry was what he's doing with you guys. Because the reality is the cable industry as an industry is doing nothing with digital television. When you talk about digital, they talk about their digital build-out, but what they don't say is they're not carrying digital television. They're going for digital interactive services, they're going for cable modems, and that's where they see their money. But apparently, the head of PBS went and spoke to the NCTA, National Cable Television Association Board of Directors, and wowed the cable people, and now I guess separate deals are going. To the extent you cut those deals with your local cable companies, that is phenomenal, and you're breaking through for everyone. For our part, we've spent several years negotiating with the cable industry, trying to get a TV set to work with cable in a way where you don't have to buy the cable box. We're so close. We've developed a whole bunch of standards. We've developed labeling things. We just released a middleware labeling, and there's just a couple of things left. We are stumbling a little bit over this issue of copy protection in a big way, because that is broadcasters and the cable industry are being threatened by the motion picture people that they won't get product unless everything is pretty much copy protected. We've maintained, as we have for many years, that the consumer's basic right for free over-the-air television includes a right to record for personal purposes. That was the basis of the Supreme Court decision in what's called the Sony Betamax case, Sony versus Universal Studios in 1984. That case held that consumers have a right to time shift. We're fighting to preserve that right, but at the same time, it's unfortunate because it is affecting how people may, the perception of whether or not they'll get programming. If you look at just the big screen market, the good news is that we see great things. I was talking about the difference between the $199 TV set and the 2001. Well, almost half now of TV sets over 25 inches are digital products. So that makes a very big difference in terms of how you think about people buying TV sets now. They are buying the big ones. And this number is a continually growing number. Now, if you look real careful, that looks like a 4x4, actually. But if you look at the bottom of that, there's an HDTV there. The other phenomenon we're seeing big time is a shift to widescreen sets. There's no question about it. There was about 5 or 6 years ago, there was introduction of widescreen analog, and it just didn't take off here the way it was taking off in Europe. But now what we're seeing, and you can see it in model introductions and things like that, and consumer purchasing, 16x9 is so big. Now again, to be perfectly candid with you, what is driving this is DVD. Watching the Gladiator movie on a DVD with a widescreen digital set is a different viewing experience than watching it on an analog 4x3. It's a huge difference. The consumers are watching. But that what's important for you in your planning is 16x9 is increasingly popular, and that's how consumers will be viewing your programming. It's the way TV set purchasing works is when you buy the big new set, that goes into your primary viewing area, your home theater, or your family room, or whatever. The set that's already there goes somewhere else in your house, and they keep shifting down until there's like one in the bathroom in the basement or something. But they don't usually get thrown out. Actually, I gave a keynote speech to an environmental group this week about this issue. I spent a lot of time talking about it. There are other reasons for optimism. You know, we're projecting over 1 million units being sold in 2001. That's a lot of product, again, in the fourth year. It is, as Ed said, you can't view this as, oh, the FCC approved digital television, the standards issue is resolved, and everyone's going to go out and buy a digital television set this year. That's not how consumers behave. It's a process, and there's a hockey stick. It works up slowly. It's sharply increased as popularity takes over, and then it slows down in a mature marketplace. Along the way, prices are going down. People see their friends having it. They'll see them at sports bars. They'll see them elsewhere. So it does take time. But the sales for 2001, it's a 50% sales growth over the year 2000. That's a huge number for the consumer electronics industry. There is actually over 200 different models on the market now of digital television product, of just monitors, I'm sorry, just monitors themselves. There's over 200 different products. There's over 20 different models of DTV set-top boxes as of now. And there's a lot more coming in the next few months. There's over 10 models of integrated sets. And again, you're going to see a lot more product introductions. I think what we'll be telling is what you see at the 2002 International Consumer Electronics Show introduced. You see a lot of, I think you'll see a lot of integrated sets. I don't know. Every manufacturer is making a decision. Does a consumer want to buy an integrated set? Or would they rather buy the monitor and take a modular approach? Not every consumer wants the over-the-air experience. So consumers like choices, and the only thing manufacturers and retailers really respond to, unless they have a government mandate, which we're trying to avoid, is consumer choice. The other good news, in addition to this phenomenal diversity of product, and let me give a little pitch, on the NAB floor, we're co-sponsoring with the NAB and the Advanced Television Systems Committee, what we're calling the digital television store. You can see, you could go there and see a great diversity of product there. We'll also have a quarterly publication we put out. It's called the DTV Guide, and it lists actually every product out there, sold, some of the specs on it, the price, when it's introduced, as well as the broadcasters that are on the air, and some commentary and projections and things like that. It's a resource for the industry, and we do it in conjunction with Twice Magazine. In terms of why we think this is so good, let me share with you some consumer research, people who actually own digital television. We surveyed people who bought sets, and what we found was the highest product acceptance we think of any product in history. Consumers love digital television. They're not being returned to retailers. There's no, 9 out of 10 say they would buy the set again. So that's real good happiness. Over 80% bought for the ultimate viewing experience, not because they needed a new set. The truth is, no one needs any consumer electronics products. We just try to convince them that they do. nearly 100% of those surveyed said the picture quality was outstanding. And over 80% owned a set-top box to receive HDTV programming. That I think, goes to the people we surveyed more than, as I said, I think that's not the percent of the people that own the monitors. So that is... that is a big deal. I have some more good news, more reasons for optimism. You're hearing it first here. I think there's maybe about 20 people that know this until this point. But the United States Senate will soon be have HDTV sets around the Senate floor, and the actual proceedings of the Senate debates and things like that on the Senate floor itself will be in high-definition television. That will be announced shortly and in place. That is a big deal in the sense if you want something from the Senate and you want to carry it. That's important to us for another reason. We found when there were efforts to make the VCR illegal, we found that a lot of members of Congress were willing to make it illegal. And that scared the heck out of us until the price point of the VCR came down and the members of Congress could afford it. Then all of a sudden they say, wait, this isn't going to kill Hollywood. So, but we think it's important that people see HDTV. There's a wonderful project going on now by a company, affiliate for commercial purposes, going to malls around the country with HDTV and selling advertising on there to people who go to malls. So there's these big jumbotrons of HDTV programming, and it's introducing consumers in malls across the country to HDTV. So the wow factor is very big when you see HDTV. There's no question about it. We had an exhibit in Atlanta Home Show 3 weeks ago, and we were introduced to several thousand consumers coming by the booth just to see HDTV. And when you see people respond to HDTV, that's what's kept me in this game for 10 years. The reaction is overwhelming. Very few people say, you know, what's the difference? They say they want it. They want to know what programming is available, of course, and that is an issue. But they want to know, the other question is, where can I get one? How much does it cost? People do want digital television. I got a note saying that I shouldn't be selling here, but I don't know what else I could talk about. If you don't have passion for digital television, really, there's no point in going forward. Congress saying that there's a mandate, I know, is a burden on you. It's something that we didn't fight for very hard. We think that the product itself is going to sell. We think that there's going to be, broadcasters are a critical part of the game, and PBS is a critical part of the broadcasting equation, because you have the ability and the intelligence and the creativity to do stuff that other broadcasters, quite frankly, don't. But also, besides broadcasting, there is alternative media. There will be HDTV over the internet in a matter of years. It's a matter of Gerstner's law and Moore's law and other of those laws. It is possible. It's already been proven that'll happen. There will be broadband to the home. There will be wireless HDTV in various ways. Obviously, the DBS is big with HDTV. A lot of what you're seeing, if you see the more oval dishes, you know, both DirecTV and EchoStar are sending out HDTV signals. I get home box office in HDTV at my house. I also get the wonderful work of WETA in Washington, HDTV, I guess, in the evening, and a whole bunch of stuff during the day, which is extraordinarily creative. But it is going to happen through a variety of means. All the different alternative media is going to make it work. And, of course, it will be pre-recorded HDTV. It's just a matter of time. But PBS is certainly doing its share. By our count, it was about 30 stations on the air. That's about 16% of all the stations out there. And that makes a big difference. So where we are in this is we see a lot of reasons for optimism. There's two companies, one of them called Access TV, another called HopHog, which are actually selling a product which is a tuner that you put the board in your computer for about $500, and you get digital television in your computer. If you want to see the Access TV people, they're exhibiting in the Sands. It's a product we bought off the internet. They just started selling 3 weeks ago, and we installed in one of our offices, and it works great. If you want to get your own digital television signal hooked up to your computer while you're sitting at your desk, for $500 you could do it, actually. We use an indoor antenna in our office in Arlington, Virginia, and it looks great. It's very creative. Zenith is doing some wonderful interactive testing with five of the PBS stations. And on Sunday, we're going to make a major announcement with the National Association of Broadcasters about what we as a consumer electronics industry are going to be doing with the broadcasting industry to get consumers aware of digital television. So if you take all this together, there's phenomenal reasons for optimism. But I think if you want to know where things are going in the future, I think you should watch some things. I think you should watch our own CEA sales statistics. We're in a little bit of an economic slowdown. The second quarter sales statistics will be important, as will the third quarter. Those are important to keep watching every quarter as they come out. Are they going up, or are they going down? Watch the programming. Watch the cable announcements. They're critical. And the best thing you can do is get carried in your local cable station. And watch your own viewers' reaction. I think to the extent you have a relationship with your viewers on digital television, you're getting a lot of good feedback, and it becomes pretty clubby. I know that the viewers in the Phoenix area are very active together as a group in pressuring local broadcasters to have digital television. Bottom line here is my vision, if you will, is a widescreen vision, and it's a vision with HDTV succeeding. It's just a question of when, and if we work together and if we don't finger point, I think it'll happen. Thank you very much for your attention. I appreciate it.